This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, July 19th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Trump targets clean energy, trade, and border policies. Tester and Costa break with Biden. And the Western weekend, record heat and fires. Trump lays out campaign themes. The Republican National Convention is in the books. Republicans are leaving Milwaukee far more unified and optimistic than they were the first time Donald Trump was nominated for president in Cleveland in 2016. During his 1.5-hour acceptance speech last night, the former president did not mention agriculture directly, but he touched on issues important to the sector. Trump repeatedly pledged to end illegal immigration, promising to launch the largest deportation operation in the history of our country. He promised to protect U.S. workers from unfair trade, saying he would slap stiff tariffs on foreign autos specifically. Trump also pledged to end the Green New Scam, a reference to President Joe Biden's clean energy policies, and, quote, end the electric vehicle mandate on day one. You can read a full report of the speech at AgriPulse.com. Pressure mounts on Biden heading into the weekend. President Biden is reportedly near a decision about dropping his reelection bid as more Democratic lawmakers call for him to step aside. Montana Senator John Tester and California Representative Jim Costa both issued statements yesterday urging the president to drop out of the race. Tester said, quote, "While I appreciate his commitment to public service and our country, I believe President Biden should not seek re-election to another term." Tester is in a very difficult re-election race. Costa, a senior member of the House Ag Committee. Now keep in mind, last night White House spokesman Andrew Bates denied that Biden would be making an announcement in coming days. Trump tariff plan will face wary lawmakers. Trump's plan to impose across-the-board tariffs on imported goods is likely to face pushback from some farm state lawmakers. Trump has even floated the idea of using tariffs to make up for revenue loss from new taxes. A senior member of the House Ways and Means Committee interviewed on the sidelines of the GOP convention, Nebraska Representative Adrian Smith, dropped short of saying he opposed that idea, but he said, quote, "Theoretically, if they, tariffs, are effective, they are a diminishing source of revenue. I think we want to be cautious. You know, I've always said that tariffs are a tool in the toolbox. We need to be very thoughtful as we move forward and have a good strategic plan." Senate GOP Whip John Thune, who's running to replace Mitch McConnell as GOP leader, said at a Politico event in Milwaukee that tariffs should be targeted only at countries that are engaging in unfair trade practices. "I'm not a big fan of tariffs, and I've made it clear during the last Trump administration," he said. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. NCGA sets new policy positions. A federal tax credit should be available, quote, "for the verifiable production of low-carbon commodities," the National Corn Growers Association says in its latest collection of position and policy statements approved yesterday at the group's Corn Congress in Washington. NCGA delegates also support, quote, "a climate-smart commodity being clearly defined with an industry-approved science-based process. We support a transparent market that gives farmers access into how an asset value was determined and opportunities to market that asset in a way most impactful to their own farm." Those were among a handful of additions to the 65-page book, which was originally approved at Commodity Classic in Houston in March. Another change, which, like the others, was adopted by voice vote, opposed domestic incentives, quote, favoring foreign competitor feedstocks due to restrictions placed upon U.S. farmers. By the way, the corn growers heard from the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative's Ag Chief Negotiator, Doug McCaleb. He said the U.S. is pushing Brazil to drop its 18% tariff on U.S. ethanol, a major bone of contention for NCGA. We are actively engaged in proposals that go back and forth, McCaleb said, without going into detail because of the active negotiations. He said, quote, this is a very, very serious discussion. Ag lenders urge lawmakers to bolster Farm Bill sugar provisions. 71 agriculture lenders told House and Senate Ag Committee leaders in a letter yesterday they, quote, strenuously oppose any weakening of the current Farm Bill safety net for sugar producers who, they warn, face falling prices, rising interest rates, and high input costs. Input prices inflated by supply chain bottlenecks, the Russian-Ukraine war, increasing interest rates, and climate change challenging sugar producers' profits and have even driven some from the business entirely, the group say. The letter says an effective safety net is essential when lenders consider extending operating loans to farmers. The signers include CoBank as well as a number of local banks and farm credit institutions from sugar-growing states. Now take note, the House Ag Committee's Farm Bill would provide an historically sharp increase in the marketing loan rates that serve as a floor under domestic sugar prices. Record-breaking heat, wildfire risk expected to the west this weekend. Growers and residents of the Pacific Northwest should brace for a return to record-breaking heat starting this weekend, raising the risk of wildfires in the region. Temperatures are expected to increase 10 to 20 degrees above historical averages this weekend in parts of the interior northwest, according to AccuWeather meteorologists. These will continue to put additional pressure and demand on electricity as more residents turn to air conditioners, fans, and cooling equipment. Bernie Reno, chief on-air meteorologist for AccuWeather, said, quote, the heat is not going anywhere in the Intermountain West or much of California. It's been an incredibly hot summer, and it's far from over. There's also a high risk for wildfires this weekend in parts of California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, Montana, and Wyoming due to the potential for dry storms. Over 50 large wildfires are already burning in the country this week, and the rising temperatures with light winds could spread smoke and reduce air quality as well. Take note, last week a food service company warned customers that some crops like lettuce may have quality or quantity issues due to the heat spike on the West Coast. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, July 19th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Malley.